At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and we're going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. We have so much to talk about today, from the good, the bad, the ugly. And I've never liked that phrase, the good, the bad, the ugly. Phenomenal movie. Did you ever see it with Clint Eastwood back in the day?
Yeah.
All right. Great movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. But I've never liked that phrase for one reason. There's two negatives and only one positive. So each day I text Jake like headline options. Hey, can this fit in? And then he makes the magic work with the YouTube headline and everything else. And I was like, man, the good, the bad, the ugly. There's inherently two negative things and one bad thing in there. And we're 5-1. There's got to at least be two. I mean, there's two negatives, the bad and the ugly, which, by the way, the bad and the ugly were very easy to come up with. But so was the good. But I needed something to balance it out. So it's the good, the bad, the ugly, and the improved. Because we have improved in some very key areas from a season ago. That's what we're going to talk about today. Also, like, if you looked at the slate of college football games last weekend, it was not exhilarating looking at the slate. It was not exciting. For the love of all that's holy, they went to Miami and Cal for college game day. And then it might have been, Alabama and Vandy was the game of the day. Then it was almost the game of the day. All right, the Canes are down by 21 at one point. They had to travel like 38 million miles to play a conference game. I saw a tweet throughout the week that the Miami equipment crew was 1,200 miles away from Miami on their way to a conference game, and they weren't even halfway there yet. Going from Miami, Florida, out to Cali-frickin' 4IA, it's crazy. It's mind-blowing to me. Geography does not matter. Pretty soon, we're going to have, like, teams in Germany playing teams from Washington down in Florida for no apparent reason whatsoever. But I digress. A whole slate of great games to talk about this past weekend. You found out that these are still kids growing up to be men that are playing college football. Ranked teams beating unranked teams beating ranked teams was running amok. All right, number 4 goes down to an unranked team. Number 1 goes down to an unranked team. And by the way, Vanderbilt, the Polaris started in 1936. Vanderbilt was 0-60 versus top 5 teams until Saturday. Since 1936, how bad were they before that? Nobody knows because nobody kept track. They could be 0 for 8 million for all we know, but we know that they were 0-60 going into Saturday versus top 5 teams. So we got a whole slate of college football games and upsets. Pandemonium to talk about. We're also going to be giving my reaction to Matt Rhule's press conference today, as always, every Monday. But we're going to start by the good, the bad, the ugly, and the improved when it comes to Nebraska football. All right, right out the gate, Jake, what do you think? Let's start with the good, because that's the order of the phrase, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the improved. So we'll just go in that order. What do you think the good is? What do you think the good is, Jake? We have not discussed this. What do you think the good is?
I would have to go with the defense. I mean, this is a defensive win. Once again, the defense, you know, through half of the season now has allowed in 5 of the 6 games 10 points or less. And, you know, the pass rush, I can wait a little bit on the improved on some of this stuff, but yeah, overwhelmingly the black shirts, that's gotta be the banner for the good.
So I'll be honest with you. There was a few options for the good, which is also why I wanted to create another department called the improved. I needed more areas to focus on the improvement. the good is absolutely the black shirts. You nailed it. There's other things I want to talk about on a positive note. We're going to save that for the improved part of the show. All right, the black shirts have played since the Illinois game, haven't given up a point in the first half. And actually, there's three first halves this year where they haven't given up any points. They're giving up an average in the first half of games this year, 3.33 points throughout the six first halves. All right, those 12 quarters of football that we played. And the offense, I've talked about the offense being inconsistent. We played 24 quarters of football this year. The offense really has played 13 good quarters of football. All right, just over 50%. The black shirts have really played 22 good quarters of football. What are the two quarters that weren't good, Jake? Two quarters and an OT. How about that?
That's there hint. You go.
The Illinois game. Okay. Yeah. So their batting average is a lot higher, so to speak. It is well above 50% and well into the 90 percentile range. This is a black shirts defense that held Rutgers to 2 of 14 on third downs on Saturday. All right, let me pull up some of these stats here. All right, 2 of 14 on third downs, 2 of 6. That's an inordinate amount of fourth down attempts, but 2 of 6 on fourth down attempts as well. Held Rutgers. This was a potent Kyle Manungai, a potent rushing attack to 2.4 yards per carry. All right, held them under 100 yards rushing. Kyle Manungai coming in was one of the top 10 backs nationally when it came to yards. Yards per carry, yards per game, total yards on the season. Held them under 100 yards rushing, 2.4 yards per rush, to the point where inexplicably, Rutgers just kind of quit trying to run the ball, which I didn't understand, to be honest with you. But that's their problem, not ours. And when you look at what the black shirts have done since Illinois, well, I'm actually going to do a little bit more of a broader recap. Let's go to the first game, UTEP. All right, we're halfway into the season. We got a bye week. Let's do a little bit more broader recap. They really had one bad drive versus UTEP. 3 plays, 60 yards. UTEP went no huddle, caught us off guard. The rest of the game, they didn't do bupkis. They didn't even get into our red zone. All right, played really well. UTEP's not great. But they played really well versus UTEP. Had one bad drive, really 3 bad plays. That was it. You look at the Colorado game. Just they absolutely stomped a mud hole in them the first half. The entire team, but the black shirts as well. The black shirts scored almost as many points as they allowed to Colorado. The pick six, that's 7 for us, the good guys. And the other guys, well, it's Colorado. I'm just going to say it. The bad guys scored 10 on the entire day. This is a Colorado team that is 4-1, a team that is a legit contender in the Big 12 Conference. And I know people are like, oh, stop talking about Colorado. They're actually, like, pretty good. Well, we'll see how good they are. But they're much improved compared to a year ago. That I can safely say. And that I've been saying since before we played them. I sat here and said, before we played them, even after the game, the worst that they are is equal to a season ago. And if you remember, they played 9 ranked teams last year, and they had several games that they lost by one possession. They are 4-1, went down to UCF, who was the number one rushing team in the country, averaging over 300 rush yards per game, 14-point dogs, and beat them by 20-plus points. I'm not sitting here some sort of Colorado fan. What I'm saying is when you look at what Nebraska did to him, especially the defense in that game, held him to 10 points. It's pretty impressive when you think about the elite athletes they have. Travis Hunter may be the number one overall pick. Shedeur Sanders may be the number one overall pick. They both may be top 5 picks. Then they got other athletes back there, okay, as well on the Colorado at the Colorado skill positions. You look at who did we play after Colorado? Oh, Northern Iowa. And it was interesting because I was as frustrated as anybody else after the Northern Iowa game. I was like, oh, God, we can't get off the field. Wow, Northern Iowa just rushed for more yards than Colorado and UTEP combined, and they kind of pushed us around a little bit. All true. All facts. All things that showed up a little bit more against Illinois in the second half. How many points we give up in that game, Jake? Do you remember? Don't Google.
To Colorado?
Are you not listening?
Sorry, I was.
I want a new producer. No, I don't. Jake, I was talking about Northern Iowa.
Oh, okay.
How many points did we give up in that game?
3.
Attaboy. All right, when you pay attention, you're not half bad. Only gave up 3 points. It's Northern Iowa. It's still a really good FCS team. All right, Illinois was the next game, correct? Mm-hmm. Stop Googling things. You should know these off the top of your head. The first half, we really played really, really well. Had the lead at halftime, clearly outplayed them, had the gigantic advantage in the stats. Now, you got to give credit to Brett Bielema. He's a good football coach. He's won 3 Big Ten championships for a reason in his career at Wisconsin. went down to Arkansas, comes back to the Big Ten. He's a Big Ten style of coach. It didn't work in the SEC. It's okay. He's a Big Ten style of coach. They made halftime adjustments, and it showed. And a team that hadn't rushed the ball well all year, all of a sudden rushed the ball well in the second half. And a team that wasn't supposed to be all that potent on offense, all of a sudden we couldn't get off the field. Our offense kind of stalled too. Like, they made adjustments and we didn't. Credit to them. Hopefully we'll do better next time we're in a similar situation. Really, the overtime, when it took two plays for them to score from the 25-yard line, that was what bothered me the most. I was like, oh my goodness, that was way too easy. Outside of those two quarters and that one overtime possession, the Blackshirts, if you look at them statistically, they are top 10 in the country in points per game allowed. All right, number three in the Big Ten, only behind Ohio State, Penn State, ahead of schools like Michigan and the like. They're top 10 in the country when it comes to yards per game allowed, right? Number 9 and 10, respectively, points per game, yards per game allowed. They are playing incredibly well. They're not giving up points. Then you come into the Purdue game. And Ty Robinson, he talked about after the Illinois game how they were pretty much embarrassed by how they had played to end that game, and they came back with a vengeance. Purdue ended up with 10 points, but really they got their touchdown with like 2 minutes to go. Shut them out the first half, limited their total yards, their points, their third down conversions. All right, and on a day when the offense wasn't exactly, you know, blowing up the scoreboard till there was about 20 minutes left in the game. And when I say that, I mean it was 0-0 till there was about 20 minutes left in the game. The defense really was the huge component of us being able to stay in that game and win that game. Because imagine if Purdue scores just a touchdown in the first half and just a touchdown the third quarter. All of a sudden, we're down 14-0. That changes the complexion of the game. But they didn't do that. The offense had pressure taken off of them because they knew the defense wasn't going to give up a lot of points. We end up winning the game 28-10. You come to Rutgers, right? The offense puts up 14 points in the first half, looks pretty good, stalls out in the second half. Again, now the 24 quarters we played this year, the offense has played 13 good quarters. The defense has played 22. The good is the defense. When you look at this Rutgers game specifically, Ethan Kalanick-McManus was 15 to 37. Is that above or below 50%, Jake?
That is below.
He was really fast with that calculator. That was impressive. Well below. Nebraska's quarterbacks combined last year, when we struggled mightily to throw the football, were a combined 52%. He's well below that. Also, one touchdown, two INTs. So a 2-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio. Couldn't throw the ball that well. Couldn't run the ball. Their vaunted running attack. Couldn't run it that great. And I'll be honest with you, Kyle Manungai is a beast. He's one of those guys, when you look at him, he's not going to blow the top off your defense with elite speed, but he's built like a bowling ball. He's the type of guy that defenders look at and we're like, oh, I'd rather face the tall, skinny, fast guy, or I'd rather face the 250-pound back. This is the back who's about 200, 215 pounds, built low to the ground. They are the most difficult guys to tackle. The first quarter, Rutgers actually ran the ball pretty well. After that, not so much. The Blackshirts were the reason we won the game on Saturday. Rutgers started with the ball at our 2-yard line, 6 plays, nothing. They started with the ball the next possession at our 28-yard line. You know what happened? The next 3 plays, Jake? That means no. 3 plays for negative 19 yards. There was a 9-play period where Rutgers offense had a combined negative 18 yards. It was negative 19 on the 3 starting at the 28 and positive 1 on the 6 starting at the 2. Our defense was put in position after position after position on Saturday where they basically had to win the game for us, and they did. That's the good. All right, Jake, what do you think the bad is?
Well, it's a good day for Brian Buscini, but I still have to go with special teams.
No. The ugly's still coming.
Oh, the ugly's coming. Okay.
The ugly is still coming. But then,
between the offense and the special teams, you got to pick one or the other. All right. Well, I would think maybe what I don't know. I'm interested in what you think is the bad then.
Hey, I actually forgot to mention this. If there was a glorious section, this is the glorious section. James Williams, a man that Jared Crick identified last March when he went to a spring practice. I said, hey, who's someone under the radar? And Jake remembers this. All right. Jake was paying attention on that particular day. I love just taking shots at you and then just not giving you a chance to respond. It's great. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You can always hop in. All right. Feel free to take shots at me. WWE promo style all day long. All right, babe. Have fun with it. But Jared Crick, when I asked him, I said, who's someone under the radar? Out of nowhere. He says, number 90, James Williams. He looks like a future first round pick. Now, I don't want to like he had a great game Saturday. Let's go easy on this. But that's what Jared said back in March. So shout out to Jared Crick for identifying a guy that nobody basically just did a tryout a year ago. That's all it was, a grad tryout. Ends up on the team, and he identifies him out of, my God, 150-some guys on the team. That guy sticks out to me. On Saturday, two tackles for loss, two sacks, and really the play to end the game on fourth down could have easily been his third sack of the game. Quarterback just happened to get rid of the ball, like right before it would have been his third sack. And it's interesting because I actually want to learn more about him. He talked about how he's had trouble with his family has like kind of gone away to a degree. And this is where I got to learn more. I've just seen little clips and little tidbits here and there. His family has kind of gone away. And Coach Knighton has really stepped in as a father figure for him. There's a picture of him hugging Coach Knighton after the game. And it's not a typical coach player hug. Like there's a bond between those two that you can see. And I want to learn more about this. I want to learn more about his story from just a grad tryout to all of a sudden catching Jared Crick's eye to making plays on Saturday to where the world notices. And now you start to learn a little bit more about his story. All right. That if there was a glorious section, the good, the bad, the ugly, the improved, and the glorious, that would be the glorious. We're just going to keep adding segments if you're cool with that, Jake.
All right.
The bad. Nebraska's inability to consistently run the football. We are averaging 3.9 yards per carry. For perspective, a good running football team without a running quarterback, because I keep hearing, oh, we don't have a quarterback that runs the ball. That's why the running game has gone down. Okay, Ethan Kelly-McManus, with all due respect, can barely tie his shoes and then walk afterwards without falling down. And I mean that with all due respect and a little bit of fun as well. I'm just proud I finally am able to say his name consistently and correct. I struggled with that for so long. Hey, my name gets butchered, and it's not even that hard, so I don't feel half bad about it. But Rutgers averaged over 5 yards a carry. I believe it was 5.8 coming into Saturday. And yeah, it's all about who you play, this and that. We haven't played Murderer's Row yet. I think our four toughest games are still in front of us. So by comparison, we're averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Now, to be fair, college football incorporates sacks. And Dylan Raiola is averaging minus 4.1 yards per carry due to the sacks. But here's the other stat that is figured in there, is Ja'Cory Barney is averaging 14.9 yards per carry, and that guy's a wide receiver. So neither one of those are really part of the running game. So I believe it offsets. We're averaging 3.9 yards per carry, and I'll tell you when it really started to bother me. Purdue, one of the worst run defenses in the country, and we could not run the ball consistently against Purdue. There's no holes. There's no place to go. That's on the blocking up front. And we talked last week, hey, the pass pro is improved. You can't improve on everything all at once. There's only so much time in a day. You couldn't stay the same run blocking. You just couldn't stay equivalent to. Like, just because I'm working on my pass rush moves doesn't mean I all of a sudden get pancaked on every single double team I face. Like, we have huge offensive linemen. We have highly recruited guys. We have experienced guys. You've heard it at nauseam. We have a position coach in his third year here. Why in the world we've dropped off so much with the running game and our quarterback doesn't run? Well, we can also throw the ball, so we're more balanced to keep defenses off balance, so the running game should be there, at least equivalent to a season ago. We just don't have to run the ball as much, so we don't need total running yards to be equivalent to, but the yards per carry can at least be equivalent to a season ago. 3.9. The bad is that we cannot run the ball and knock people backwards, not consistently. All right, Jake, what do you think the ugly is? Oh, you already know what the ugly is. What do you think the ugly is?
Yeah, well, if the special teams is still out there, I think that's been mighty ugly all year long.
What if I said it wasn't special teams? And I don't mean to make a joke of it. It's really not funny. So I do have a story to share, and I actually kind of felt bad for Ed Foley before the game. So the former players, the former letter winners did a tunnel walk and on Saturday before Rutgers game, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting to go out with all the other letter winners from all the other sports that were able to show up on Saturday. And I run into Coach Knighton. If you follow me on TikTok, I posted this video. If you watch my gut reaction, I posted this video. So Coach Knighton's there. Once I'm on the field, here comes Tony White in his neon green sleeves, long sleeve shirt. And so we have a brief moment there. He's obviously getting ready for the game. But fans were going, I saw some grad assistants coming through. Fans were going crazy. And here comes Ed Foley. All of a sudden, he got really quiet, like really quiet. And I was like, one of two things. Either, wow, they really don't like him, which I don't think that that's the case. It's never personal. Never take anything personal. If you hear anything that's said by me and you take it personal, I accept no responsibility for that. Okay. I simply give my opinion on what's happening on the field, why or why not, and my take, that's it. If you take it personal, hey, I got nothing but love for you. I was a first round pick. I know what it's like to be chewed up and crapped out, and I know what it's like to be loved to death and everything in between. I've been there. Unless you're the head coach or the quarterback in Nebraska football, I've been where you're at and probably then some. So I'm not going to apologize for my honest opinion. If you take it personal, it's on you. And I'm absurdly hard to miss. Come find me anytime you'd like. We can chat. My point, and that's not a challenge, it's just an open door. Like, come chat anytime you'd like. Ed Foley walks by and it just, like, you could hear a pin drop. And I was like, do really all these people know what he looks like? So I kind of felt bad for him. The other thing was, his demeanor was that it was very, like, solemn. Yep. I would just, the 5 seconds I saw him, almost like pissed off at the same time. Like, he almost anticipated negativity. And I'm sure he's had a lot of stuff thrown his way, and it's tough to deal with. Okay, if the performance on the field was better, it'd be a little bit different. All right, right now, when I watch special teams, it is the ugly. It reminds me of a middle school football team. In middle school, you have no idea, is there anybody on this team that can long snap? Is there anybody on this team that can make a field goal? Probably not in middle school. Again, remind you of our special teams right now. Is there anybody on this team that can make an extra point? Hey, we're making extra points right now. But my point is, we're 4 of 9 on field goals, 44%. That's about what extra point conversions are in middle school. All right, we're averaging 5 yards per punt return. No returns to speak of. Our coverage units are below average when it comes to consistency at best. So anyways, the story was, he walks on the field. I just kind of felt bad. Everyone got really, really quiet. I didn't know if it was due to the fact that they recognized him or just his demeanor, okay? But I kind of felt bad for him, because you never want anyone to walk around with that on their shoulders, okay, just on a human being level. On a coaching level, we need more. We need more. We need a lot more. Now, this is a guy who's had a great career. He knows football. He understands football. He's probably as frustrated and perplexed as anybody else as to why special teams isn't performing better. This is a guy that has a long history with Matt Rhule. This is a guy who's probably taught Matt Rhule a lot of things due to his experience. I have nothing but love and respect for Ed Foley's career. All due respect. But the results on the field right now, I mean, we can't punt. We had 2 block punts on Saturday. We can't kick a field goal. Is the snap going to be all right? Is the hold going to be all right? Game-winning field goal attempt against Illinois. Laces aren't where they should be. If that all goes right, is it going to get blocked? We had 2 block field goals this year. Oh, we got the snap. We got the hold. It didn't get blocked. It's less than a 50% chance we're going to make it right now. 2 block punts Saturday. Special teams literally were the only thing that gave Rutgers an opportunity. The block punt inside our end zone gave Rutgers the opportunity to really be in that game. Right now, we are winning in spite of our special teams. You never want to be a player on a unit that you're winning in spite of. You never want to be the coach of the unit that you're winning in spite of. This bye week could not have come at a more perfect time for the special teams unit. It's an opportunity to get better. Better, better, better. Any other thoughts on special teams?
Not too much. It's all ugly. It's tough.
Okay. All right. The improved. How much time do we have left? I know the other show kind of ran over, so we started late. What time we need to be done with this segment?
Probably about 2 more minutes.
All right. The improved. What do you think the improved is?
Especially from last year. Again, I go back to James Williams. I'd say that pass rush is definitely improved.
That is definitely. There's a lot of things, actually. The pass rush has improved. It's more consistent. The two things that I was going to mention are the two things that cost us the most amount of games last year. And I actually mentioned this on my most recent Chronicle show, where I did mid-season grades for the offense, the defense, special teams, and the team as a whole. the two things that needed to improve the most and the two things that cost us the most games last year was turnovers, quarterback play, or throwing the ball ineffectively. Again, we completed 52% of our passes. Our interception to touchdown ratio was, let me repeat that, not touchdown to interception. Interception to touchdown ratio was more than 2-1. And I'll repeat this for the 50th time. The only offenses in America that were worse than us at throwing the ball, Army, Navy, Air Force, Iowa. Like, how do you feel about that, knowing that information, Jake?
Well, most of the teams don't try to pass the ball, and the one that does.
Exactly. That's my point.
Is Iowa.
I mean, Kirk Ferentz tried to play daddy ball, and even he couldn't keep baby Ferentz around. Yes, that was meant as a jab. You can take that personally if you'd like baby Ferentz, but it all started. If anybody remembers, I first started calling him that after he took a shot at us at an event in Iowa that he thought nobody was ever going to see. It got out, and I've always reacted to that since then by calling him baby Ferentz. I also hate daddy ball when I see kids playing new sports, but that's a topic for another day. Or mommy ball. Dylan Raiola has a 3-1. Touchdown to interception ratio. Touchdown to interception, 3-1. 9 touchdown passes, 3 INTs. Wow, that's just a whole lot to a gargantuanly amount better. Our completion percentage on the year, and before Saturday, it was over 70%. All right, Dylan had a little bit of a rough day. He's allowed to be human. Okay, he threw for under 50% on Saturday, 13 for 27, which dipped him down to a completion percentage of 67%, which is 15% better than last year, by the way. So the ability to pass the ball, significantly better. I just wish our run game was equivalent to last year. Could you imagine if it was equivalent to last year? And the turnover margin. Last I looked, maybe double check me on this real quick. I believe we're +5 on the season. All right, that's if we don't count blocks or anything like that, which you don't generally count as turnover margin. But there's a stat out there. If you have a block punt, the team that wins in the game with the block punt, the team that has the block punt, like blocks the punt, like we block Iowa's punt, there's a 90% chance we'll win that game. Just random example, but that is the stat that I've seen. Are we +5?
I could look at it.
All you want to do is use Google. I asked you to use Google.
You told me to stop using Google.
You stare off into space. Stop daydreaming about her, okay? All right.
Okay.
Or him, whatever works for you, Jake. All right, so the improved is the passing game and the turnover margin, and it's by far the two areas we needed to be the most improved in. What I didn't imagine is that we would regress a little bit in the run game and regress a whole lot of bit in the special teams game. Special teams are not so special right now. It's got to get gargantuanly better. So the good, the defense, and how they responded to the Illinois game. And how they've played since, or really the rest of the quarter, 22 out of 24 quarters. The bad, the run game. You got to give your true freshman quarterback some help. Got to be able to knock people off the ball up front. An experienced, big offensive line. There's no excuse for it. The ugliest special teams, the improved, the pass rush, as Jake pointed out, the passing game, all right, and the turnover margin. What are we at?
+6.
+6, even better than I thought. I like it. All right, you got any final thoughts, Jake?
Not too many final thoughts. I did see something that is notable, that the Indiana game will be kicked off at 11 a.m. on Big Noon Saturday.
So I like it.
Good for Nebraska.
Did you know that Indiana's the first team to get bowl eligible in the country?
Are they?
Nobody else is 6-0. They have a bye week now, just like us. I was kind of hoping we'd have that advantage, but that's okay. Our next two opponents, number 18 in the country, number 2 in the country. We're going to have some opportunities to beat a ranked team this year. Getting that monkey off our backs would be huge. We won a one-score game on Saturday. Yeah. Got that monkey off our backs. Let's beat a ranked team this year. Get that monkey off our backs. I mean, my God, get bowl eligible. Let's do a little bit more than that. All right. But let's get bowl eligible. Get that monkey off our backs. I feel like Steve Young, after they stomped a mud hole in the Chargers in the 94 Super Bowl, and in the locker room, he's like having his teammates, get the monkey off my back. Are you old enough? You're old enough to have seen that, right?
I don't remember that. I remember Steve Young in the latter half of his career, but
what's your age again?
34.
Was that Blink-182? What's my age again?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you said that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do one of two things when we come back. We're either going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference, or if that's still going on, we're going to react to an insane weekend of college football. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.